On this day of special sporting significance, I am reminded of the story of David and Goliath. As you recall, Goliath was the short-priced favorite, but David, a rank outsider, came through with the help of the Lord. I trust and pray a similar outcome will result this afternoon when, in a fight dismissed by the press as the slaughter of the century, Muhammad Ali faces Brian McCoy, our very own deacon. I entreat you all not to desert young Brian in his hour of need. After all, he's not a well man, and he doesn't know about the fight yet. Which would explain why he's been walking around saying, "Who's this fool who's going to fight Muhammad Ali?" Nay, do not dismiss the deacon lightly. Ignore the 20,000 to 1 odds being quoted in pessimistic circles. Put your shirt on him, for the deacon has mighty support with the Lord and a concrete glove. Also, as Providence would have it, our very own ushers, Lefty and Spike, have come up with a wizard plan to, by remote control, put 240 volts through Ali's athletic support. Which should bring a certain amount of tears to the eyes of the champion. All winnings will go to the Let's All Pitch In and Send the Vicar on a Women's Weekly World Bunny Club Discovery Tour Fund.
Yes, it's the all-new, just-delivered Naked Vicar Show. Starring in order of birthplace, but brought by the stork, Nolene Brown. The cabbage leaf kid, Kev Goldby. And from the doctor's little black bag, Ross Higgins.
Shut up.
Oh, go away.
No, I will not be denied. I am a hero.
You're a twerp.
Mock me not, Mrs. Jackson, for I am Bruce the Jungle Cobber.
Aye?
Bruce Jungle Cobber, friend of the feathered and the furries. See the birdies sit on my shoulder. See the lion purr at my feet. See the elephant sit on my feet. See the natives point and whisper.
Bruce.
My friends call me Jungle Cobber.
Bruce.
No, piss me not off, Mrs. Jackson. For I need the drawers of drama.
Eh?
The loincloth of the lion-hearted, the bloomers of the Bantu, the tutu of Tarzan. This is what I crave.
What?
A pair of leopard skin kimbies, please.
Bruce.
Tarry me not, for I feel the call of the wild.
Second on the left, you can't miss it.
Oh, you don't understand. There I sit in my treehouse, surveying my savage domain. Suddenly the drums start. Urgently they summon the jungle cobber. Calling Bruce, they cry, bonkata bonkata bonk, ting!
Ting?
It's a cymbal, played by famous jungle percussionist Mbuto Rich. Quickly I rouse my jungle partner. Can you hear the drums, Warren?
Warren?
My chimpanzee and live-in help. He's got the top bunk. He used to have the bottom one, but he kept playfully kicking me out of bed.
Warren sounds like a pretty big chimp.
8 feet tall.
An 8 foot chimp?
Well, gorilla, really. But if you call him a gorilla, he gets angry and rips your arms off. Ah, the drums warn of danger. Come, Warren, I cry, there is work to do. Fearlessly I leap for a vine and swing through the jungle. Ah! I scream and crash to the floor of the jungle, two great fang marks in my shoulder.
What happened?
In my haste, I grabbed hold of Ted, the boa constrictor. He was not amused. He was having a quiet rest after swallowing a pig. Quickly, Warren applies a tourniquet, and I have to stamp on his septic hangnail again.
Why?
He tied it round my neck. But soon we're off again, plunging through the jungle. Me with my jungle cry, yeah! Like that. And Warren with his piano accordion, scree, he goes.
Scree?
Got his nipple caught in the bellows again.
How come the gorilla plays the piano accordion?
Well, because I hold the cup, of course. Warren's terrible with money. The drums still tap out the urgent summons, and we rush off, Warren with a fresh band-aid on his nipple. Soon we're in the native village, an uprising is brewing, and unless I act now, I know all of Africa will be a bloodbath. Slowly a plan crystallizes in my racing brain, but I need more time. Then, an idea. Play, Warren. Play as you've never played before. Your music will enchant the chief of all the Maasai. And he plays.
What happens?
Soon it's over, and 8,000 Maasai warriors cheer with delight at their chief's reaction. And a very puzzled Warren pulls bits of piano accordion out of his skull. Fearlessly I chastise the chief of all the Maasai. I chastise you, chief of all the Maasai. Like that. And Warren screams, ow!
Why?
Chief stamped on his septic hangnail.
Bruce, are you having a lend of me?
No, Dinks.
Where's all this happening? Up the Congo, in darkest Africa?
Down the road, in the florist shop. I help Mrs. Brown water the greenhouse every Wednesday.
Bruce.
I know.
Piss off.
Here we are.
Yes, here we are. At last. Beautiful day, isn't it?
Ah, it feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. Yes. Wonderful.
Making it legal was long overdue, don't you think?
Oh, yes. Long overdue. All that rubbish about immorality. Heavens.
Yes. Fancy making such a fuss about nude bathing.
Ridiculous. Oh, sorry.
Hello, Sarah. Hello, Clark. Mind if I join you?
Oh, hello, Rodney. Come for a bit of the old nude bathing, eh?
Yes. Ridiculous, all the fuss about it. Oh, sorry, old chap. I'll just settle myself.
We were just saying it should have been legalized long ago. Oops. Sorry, Rodney.
Ah, it makes one feel so free.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. I mean, there's no shame in it, is there? Ah!
Pardon me.
Of course not. If you look at it logically, there's really no harm to anyone.
Oh, and it's so healthy if you analyze it.
Of course. I've been doing it for years. But now that it's actually legal, why hide it?
Well, it's perfectly natural, isn't it? I even have my children doing it.
Really? Ooh.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I can see the point of view of the older generation.
Hey!
Oh, beg your pardon.
But for this day and age...
Oh, wow!
Oh, sorry.
Look, I hate to be a bore, but could we change places? For the last half hour, I've been sitting on the plug.
Now, here's Perry Bedell.
Music is a well within itself, with a language we all understand. We'll just need an opportunity for all to sing and dance and clap their hands. But it's because the record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. And you can tell right away from letter A when the people start to move. The king of them all seduced, and with a voice like hell ringing out, there's no way that band can lose. Now you can feel it, oh no way.
Good morning, Deirdre. It's a lovely day here at 14 Wombat Crescent, and what's on at the 6 a.m. starters for breakfast?
Good morning, Mervyn, dear. Lined up and ready to go, we have juice out of fridge by Orchie, closely followed by milk out of carton by Daisy, egg out of eggshell by Chook.
What about snags?
A late scratching, Mervyn, out of luck.
That's a blow, Deirdre.
Never mind, have a chop.
Negative, Deirdre. What's on the list of events for today?
You promised to trim the turf.
No can do, Deirdre. The victors had the dick.
Well, why not fix it, Mervyn?
If you recall, Deirdre, it was your very own long-haired son who, while trying to impress a certain well-norked Francine, did render the mower useless today when he ran over Neville, the tastefully decorative concrete aboriginal, kindly donated by a certain Neolithic mother of yours.
Don't talk about my mother in that fashion. She's a fine figure of a woman.
She certainly would be if she could get those knuckles off the ground and shaved more often.
If you're trying to provoke me, Mervyn...
Don't point that chop at me, Deirdre. Do not forget who's holding the chutney bottle. By the way, where is our... Oh, good morning. Get your hair cut, Wayne.
Good morning, Dad. Any snags, Mum?
Sorry, dear. Have a chop.
Negative, Mum.
Listen, Puff, you'll have a chop and enjoy it.
You can stick your lousy...
Not in front of your mother, boy. Big and all as you are, I can still give you a go with my chutney bottle.
Now, boys, don't argue. I'll eat the chop.
Have some chutney, Deirdre. That reminds me, Wayne, turn on the radio. It's time for the replay of my commentary of the big race last night.
Must we, Dad? It's bad enough listening to you live over the breakfast without listening to that radio voice of yours.
Shut up, Wayne. Here it is now.
Now we replay Mervyn Grimley's call of last night's big race. Over to you, Mervyn.
They're off to an excellent start. And number two, that is two, is going much faster than all the others. And will almost certainly win the race. And he has. And now, back to the studio.
How do you get that funny tone to your voice, Dad?
Practice makes perfect, Wayne. More chutney, dear?
Hello! Attention! Shop! Cooey!
Anyone there? Service!
Testing! Testing!
1, 2, 3! Is there anyone there?
Yes.
Who are you?
Come on, who are you?
That's got him stumped, Clary.
Well, who are you?
My name, sir, madam, is Malcolm Fraser.
Yeah, well, out of our way. We want to see the Prime Minister.
Yeah, where's Gough?
Gough Whitlam is down the hall.
Well, what are you doing in his office?
Get your feet off his desk.
Pour it up in, Clary.
What's the trail bike in the filing cabinet for?
What are all these magazines for?
Is that all you do all day, read Modern Motor?
And who's this handsome bloke, and why have you filled in all the O's in his book?
That's got him good and knotted, Phil.
Madam, sir, I am the Prime Minister now.
Budgie Poop, you're not.
I am.
Not.
I am.
Avia droppings.
That's a good one, Clary.
Don't you emu drop me, madam. I run this country.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's that bloke doing?
What bloke?
The one with the big hat who galloped through on the sheep and fell off.
Yeah, who's that?
Oh, Doug, stop it.
Oh, look, he's drinking from his gumboot now.
Don't do that, you'll get hepatitis.
He is not drinking from his gumboot.
Well, what's he doing then?
Looking for his nose ring.
If his nose is ringing, tell him to answer it.
That's a good one, Clary.
No wonder the company's in a mess.
Yeah, you don't know what you're doing, do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, what about the Wombat Breeding Act of 1936?
What Wombat Breeding Act?
You don't know.
Gotcha.
Look, I am the Prime Minister. I'm very busy. Please go.
If you're the Prime Minister, do an act.
Yeah, if you're the Prime Minister, why aren't you eating with the Arabs?
Or at least sack Jim Cairns.
Yeah, everyone else has.
Oh, hang on, I know you. You look just like that bloke in the Pickering cartoons.
Madam, I am that bloke in the Pickering cartoons.
Oh, you dirty little bugger.
Put your clothes on.
Oh, geez, he really is like the drawing.
Don't poke me with your umbrella, madam.
Why not? My brother voted for you.
But we got him for it.
Yeah, we got him for it.
Look, what do you want?
I
want
to buy one of your cookbooks.
Yeah, give us your cookbook.
I don't have a cookbook.
I know a certain premier who has 10,000.
Who?
Joe Bielke Peterson.
Yeah, he's got 10,000 Donnie Dunstan cookbooks.
Why?
He arrested them.
Look, will you please...
No, sorry, love to, but we can't stay.
Yeah, sorry, we gotta go.
Bye.
Here's Ron Barry.
Easy rider, duck and hide, Sandy cut from school. Wanna be another better educated fool. Frightened, shuck and power, but he seeks and never finds. He may be insane, but he's walking on the line right on. That boy, he's shining on. Cincinnati, now he's shining on. Locked him up on Sunday, Monday he was out on bail. Told his mama thank you, but his life is not for sale. Had him back on church and Sunday, locked him in a cell. Told his lawyer, judge and jury all to go to hell right on. That boy he's shining on. Oh,
Is that room service?
Well, it's not dial-a-prayer, is it?
Could you send a bottle of champagne and two glasses up to room 201, please?
Champagne? Gee, you must be worth a quid or two.
Look, I don't see what that's
got... You've got a woman up there with you.
Look, all I want...
Yeah, none of my business. I know it's your wife.
Yes, now, if you'll just
send... You'll want the cheap stuff, then?
No, I want French champagne.
Oui, oui.
Pardon?
Oui, oui, it's French for champagne.
No, it's not.
It is in this hotel.
Just send it up.
Champagne, old John, darling. You shouldn't have.
Well, it is our wedding night, after all. Do you mind if I smoke?
Of course not, dear. Yes, isn't it romantic? We've only known each other 3 weeks, and here we are, married.
Yes. God, it's agonizing.
Eh?
I mean, there's something I haven't been totally honest with you, Margaret.
Oh, if you've been telling fibs, your nose will grow long and you'll have to use your sheet as a hanky.
No, it's something more serious than that, Margaret.
You're a self-destructing Russian spy.
No, it's horrible.
You give people parking tickets. Poor dear.
Now, look, I must tell you, the truth...
Yes, John?
Well, tonight is full moon.
Fascinating.
Doesn't that give you a clue?
I'm not here to do crossword puzzles, darling.
You don't understand. Surely you've heard of ancient legends where every full moon men change.
I should hope so. You'd get a bit whiffy if you left it any longer.
Have you heard the legends?
Now, don't tell me you're a vampire.
No, I'm... Oh, it's repulsive. I'm a... were-carrot.
Eh?
A were-carrot. Every full moon I turn into a carrot.
Do you mind if I smoke?
God, it's monstrous. One night a month I sit alone, waiting, waiting, knowing that the lunar phase is about to wreak its savage curse upon my very soul. In tormented anguish, I gaze into the mirror as the full moon rises. I shield myself from the reflection with my hands as I glimpse my hair stand on end and turn green. My arms wither, my extremities atrophy. The cruel, soily wrinkles meander their way across my body. All too quickly, my complexion acquires its fearful tone. My skin glows in a dreadful shade of orange.
That's a pretty neat trick, John.
My whole body shrivels. My legs dwindle into one long, withered point. And then I fall off the chair. And I lie there in my misery, a lone, conscripted carrot.
I bet you see good in the dark.
Oh, don't make fun of me, Margaret. It only adds to my torment.
Oh, sorry, dear. You can't help it. I've just never met a were-carrot before.
Very rare.
John.
Yes, darling.
John, at this point, I think there's something you really should know.
Oh, really? What is it? Tell me. Don't be embarrassed.
I don't quite know how to tell you, but the moon's coming up.
Oh, God, I'd forgotten. The full moon.
It's nearly over the horizon.
Oh, no. Am I deviating, Margaret?
Yes, dear.
Oh, I wish I could spare you this.
It's quite exciting. Gee, you look funny.
Hold me, Margaret. Hold me till the sun comes up, until I'm myself again. Farewell, darling.
You're shrinking inside your pajamas. Where are you? Oh, there you are. Oh, you're a very nice carrot, John. Very nice. You look very crisp. And juicy. Then you are only 26. Should I put you in the fridge or something?
Right. Who is it? What do you want?
Is that room service?
Well, it's not the sports results, is it?
No, no. We ordered some champagne.
You must be the lady with a husband.
In a manner of speaking, yes. About the champagne.
All right, it's coming. Keep your knickers on.
I'd like to change the order.
Jeez, you make it hard.
Could I just have one glass?
Yeah.
And a little mayonnaise. Goodbye.
Well,
so nice to be near Ross Higgins, the completely anti-perspirant Kim Goldsby, and the enticingly fragrant Nolene Brown. The all-day freshness of the Naked Vigor Band was under the direction and underarm protection of Michael Pajanic. Noises and other sound effects were made by the Roll-On Extra Dry, John McGraw, Ron Whitman, and Steve Collins. This show was recorded by the Won't Stain Your Clothes, Mike Byrne, Rupert Maslin, and Dennis Fox. Production was coordinated by the Won't Irritate Your Skin, Judy Murphy. Written and produced by the Seek Medical Advice If Swallowed, Gary Riley and Tony Sattler. With additional material by the Eliminate Sweatless Doug Edwards. Julie Ann Ford got by without her mom to become executive producer. The Naked Vigor Show is an RS ABC production and is recommended for use in armed bits only.